How should masters athletes fuel to maximize performance? Welcome to the Science of Getting Faster podcast, where we cut through the headlines, talk directly to the researchers to find out what their studies suggest, what they don't, and where their research is heading. Today, we have a different format for the Science of Getting Faster podcast. We have Dr. Julian Louis here to answer some of your questions that you submitted on Instagram and through various different socials. So, Dr. Louis, could you start by telling us, who do we consider as masters athletes?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. I think we need to start from there. So masters athletes typically are over 35 of age. In the literature, it's always defined as athletes of 35 to 40 years of age. Why? Because this is at this specific age that we can observe the first real decline in physiological functions in athletes, and also real decline in performances. So the first, I would say, the main indicator of physiological alterations related to aging is VO2 max, so maximal oxygen uptake or oxygen consumption, declines in athletes, so training regularly, declines toward the age of 35. For people not training at all, sedentary people, for example, if we stick to VO2 max, VO2 max start declining toward the age of 22, 23, so quite early in life. But in masters athletes, it starts really declining from 35, 40 years of age.
Is there much individual variance in that?
A little bit, obviously. So endurance masters athletes, so training regularly in endurance activities like cycling, running, or swimming, for example, they can maintain their, for example, VO2 max and other physiological function for a bit longer, toward 40, potentially 45, but still, these functions inevitably decline with aging. This is the normal aging process. So that's why, they are considered masters from this age. And obviously, they are part of the definition of masters athletes is they are really good examples of successful aging. Why are they successful? Because they are a bit preserved from all the typical pathologies classically recorded with aging, such as diabetes, inflammatory pathologies, cardiovascular disease, obesity, etc. So clearly good examples of good exemplars of successful aging.
Yeah, definitely. Is there I'm just thinking about the general, at what point is it considered an athlete? And then is it that you just have to be active to have that successful experience slow the aging process, or is it training at a certain intensity that would define you as an athlete that would specifically delay that aging process?
Yeah, so it's not clearly defined again in the literature. We have put this definition everyone training regularly, 2-3 times a week, and whatever the activity, it could be just walking, could be considered as master's athlete. This regular physical activity is really beneficial to maintain the body's physiological functions and performance, and to maintain functional capacities. Anyone could be a master's athlete.
yeah, that's hopeful. That's exciting. And the aging process, so obviously you're not the same at the age of 35 as you would be maybe at 50. Yeah. Is it a linear aging process, or do we tend to see a drop off at a certain point?
Yeah, it's more like a stage process, I would say. So clear first decline in performance is towards 38 and 40. And then it's every decade, 35, 40, and then 50, 60, 70. That's really every 10 years that we can clearly see inflection points in terms of performances. Performance declines quite quickly, I would say, every 10 years. Most of scientific studies conducted with masters athletes I've been done in running because running is very popular and we have many participants and especially in the marathon. And so this has been very well documented. And typically in the marathon, performance declines. Yeah, in this manner, with quite substantial declines every 10 years.
Okay, so it's probably fair to assume then that there wouldn't be too many differences between running and cycling?
There are some slight differences. So this has been observed in studies conducted in triathlon. So masters athletes practicing swimming, cycling, and running. And we have observed that the decline in performance occurs at different ages in masters athletes in the different disciplines. So performance declines first really in swimming, and then it's running, and finally it's cycling. We can't really explain it. We think this is one of the hypotheses. We think that it's mainly related to their training routine. So as they age, they probably train a bit less in swimming and running, and they tend to train more in cycling, which could preserve their performances as well. We can't explain it physiologically, but very likely it's more related to their training routines and what they prefer as well in terms of like discipline.
Okay, good news for us then. Between the sexes, do males and females, is the aging process, do we experience it similarly, or is there differences between men and women?
The aging process is quite similar between males and females. It's not really different. What could make it different between sexes is, and I guess we'll discuss that a bit further afterwards, is what they do. So that's the training load, quantity and intensity, and also how they eat, so the amount of calories and also the amount of the different macronutrients. So that's the quality of the food as well. We'll see this is very, very important. And here we could observe differences between male and female masters athletes. Differences related to their appetite, their habits, their routines, their preferences, etc. Many things could explain these differences, but in terms of like pure physiological aging process, it's not really different between males and females.
Okay, so that sets us up nicely for the rest of the conversation. And as it pertains to nutrition, which is what we're talking about with masters athletes, are your recommendations then similar regardless of the age of the masters athletes and the sex of the masters athlete?
So if we first take the age, it's going to be a bit different, obviously. Like young masters athletes, like toward their 40s, will have different needs compared to masters athletes that are older, like, I don't know, 60, 70 of age. So age is an important variable and something to consider in nutritional recommendations, especially when it comes to protein intake. Obviously, protein is very important in masters athletes, and their protein needs augment or increased with aging. Because there is an anabolic resistance with aging. So masters athletes are less responsive to lower doses of protein. So basically, in simple terms, as they age, masters athletes need to increase their protein intake to maintain the anabolic processes and to be able to synthesize more protein and then to maintain their muscle mass. Obviously, calorie intake is important, or energy intake. Ingesting enough calories every day, that's key. That's key to maintain a good energy balance and to maintain a muscle mass as well. And yeah, it will be important to maintain it. It's going to be a challenge with aging for many reasons that we could detail later on. So yeah, it would be mainly energy intake, protein intake that should be maintained. And it's going to be more and more difficult as they age.
Okay.
And regarding maybe the sex, so differences between males and females, I would say it's not really different. Nutritional recommendations are not very different because, or maybe we don't know yet, but at the moment you may have seen that many people try to provide really specific nutritional recommendation to female athletes, for example, based on hormonal cycles, etc. I think it's too early. We don't know yet if we should recommend specific nutritional recommendations to female athletes. Why we don't know? Because females' hormonal cycles are very different. They are not the same. They are not consistent. They vary between women. So I think, yeah, clearly planning, training, or nutrition based on these is irrelevant at this time. I think we need more research, we need more data to be able to do so.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll get into how our macronutrients need to change as we get further into the episode. But let's start. Yeah. How does aging impact our metabolism then?
Clearly we can say that aging impacts the metabolism. What we observe typically with aging first is a decrease in the resting metabolic rate, so the energy expended at rest, like for daily life activities, sleeping, going to the supermarket, etc., walking. We observe this gradual decline with the aging process. It is difficult to explain it. There are different causes for that. The most important one is a gradual decline in muscle mass. So the resting metabolic rate is mainly influenced by muscle mass. The more muscle mass, the higher the resting metabolic rate. This is typical. So as muscle mass declines with aging, resting metabolic rate is going to decrease. In terms of rate, we say that it's about 15 to 20% of decrease between the age of 30 and 80. So this is based on all the research on masters athletes. And even if they train regularly throughout their life, their resting metabolic rate will still decrease because of a gradual muscle mass loss. So muscle mass is a key factor. Another factor, obviously, is physical activity. Even if they maintain a regular physical activity, at some point, very likely physical activity will decrease or become maybe less regular. So this could impact the resting metabolic rate. And finally, another factor is, I mentioned it before, is protein intake. Protein intake is key to maintain the metabolism and to renew muscle mass, to maintain it. And unfortunately, that's what we observe in masters athletes. We observe a decrease in protein intake.
Okay, so we have one of our listeners asked, what's your advice then for losing weight while minimizing the impact on their performance as a masters athlete?
That's a good question. Losing weight involves to create a calorie deficit. So at some point, they want to lose weight, they want to lose fat mass. They will need to create this like imbalance between energy expenditure and energy intake. So it could be like training more, increasing the exercise energy expenditure, or it could be just eating less, or it could be a combination of both. But they will need to create this deficit. And what is important here is to create a deficit, a calorie deficit that is reasonable, that is not too high, and that can be maintained for quite a long period of time without any like detrimental effects on physiological adaptation to training and performance. So knowing this, what could be then like an adequate calorie deficit? Well, in nutrition, we would recommend a deficit of about 500 kilocalories per day. This would be reasonable, and because it could be maintained over quite a long period of time, over several weeks, and normally such a deficit would lead to a gradual decrease in fat mass without altering too much muscle mass, which is what we want. Otherwise, that would be counterproductive if we were to lose muscle mass.
Got it. Yeah. How does our slowing metabolism change how we should feel on the bike or during exercise?
Sorry, I didn't hear the first part of the question. Excuse me, if you could.
Yeah, no worries. How does our slowing metabolism impact how we should feel on the bike?
Yeah, okay, I see. So this is a bit different during physical activity, cycling, for example, because basically the needs don't really change with aging during physical activity. Energy expenditure will still be higher during physical activity compared to resting conditions. So nutritional recommendations don't really change with aging during physical activity. That would be the same recommendations as younger riders. So something between, I don't know, 30 grams per hour up to potentially 120 grams per hour, depending on the duration and intensity of the training session or competition.
Got it. Great. So keep fueling on the bike if you want.
Yeah, definitely. It's very, very important. Obviously, mainly carbohydrates. This is the main fuel for performance. Quantities would remain the same.
Yeah. So with the protein, what changes should we make then to our macronutrient ratio? So we can't just keep adding protein without taking away calories from somewhere else. What recommendations do you have to adjust that, the proportion of protein to carbohydrates to fats?
Yeah, okay. So personally, to be honest, I don't really like to see it as like different proportions of carbs, fat, and protein in the diet. For me, if we start with protein, it's have a good distribution of throughout the day and repeat that every day. And protein intake should not really change according to the training load, for example. It should be the same every day because masters athletes need to maintain their muscle mass. And for that, they need to ingest protein regularly, whether they train or not. So in terms of recommendation, in practice, that would be regular intakes, something between 30 and 40 grams of protein at every meal and snacks. So that would mean breakfast, lunch, an afternoon snack, and dinner. That would be the minimum. So regular protein intake throughout these four meals of snack. If we were to consider more like a recommendation based on body weight, in masters athletes, that would be between 0.4 and 0.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. In younger athletes, that would be a bit lower. That would be closer to 0.3. And as I said before, that's because masters athletes need to ingest more protein to get the same muscle protein response as they age. So that's for protein. Carbohydrate intake. It's going to be dependent on the training load. Carbohydrates are going to be periodized according to the training load. So it's difficult to say for me, as I said before, that masters athletes needs 30% of the energy to come from carbohydrate or 60%. It's just something they need to periodize according to their training load. And let's say if it's a light training day, they may just need 3 grams of carbs per kilogram that day. If it's a very high load on a specific day, they could ingest up to 10 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram of body mass. So it's going to really depend on their training load. And this is really what we call fuel for the work required. We will periodize the carbohydrate intakes throughout the week and throughout the days. So this is really the mainly thing, the main macronutrients that masters athletes will need to, I would say, change on a daily basis. When it comes to fat, finally, fat are a little bit the same as proteins. I mean, the fat intake must be maintained all the time, must be reasonable, obviously. We need quite a low fat intake because we have enough fat in our body. We have enough stores. So fat must be maintained. It doesn't have to change. It's not related to training load. A regular fat intake is sufficient to cover the master's athlete's needs. So a little bit of fat at every meal. In terms of quantities, it's between 1 and 1.5 grams of lipids per kilogram of body mass per day. So basically, yeah, fats we can find in olive oil, meat, fish. These kind of fat sources are pretty good for the body.
Great. So one of our athletes has a question that kind of ties this all together. She says, it seems the name of the game for postmenopausal women is protein, protein, protein. And it seems carbs are the enemy now. How does a postmenopausal woman balance the need to have sufficient glycogen stores while wanting to avoid insulin intolerance and the lovely pot belly that comes with that? I can't imagine doing away with gels on the bike, yet some opine that at my age, I must say Signora to such a convenient fuel.
Yeah, so I'm not an expert in female physiology, so I would not probably be the best place to answer this question. But what is true is I disagree a bit with the first part of what you said, where carbohydrate intake should be lowered. I think it really depends again on the training load. If training load is high, if masters athletes train a lot, I think they should have enough energy, and this energy should come from carbohydrates, because this is the main fuel that muscles will use during exercise, and for that, they need to have enough glycogen available during the exercise, and if carbohydrate intake is too low, glycogen synthesis cannot be initiated. So I would say it really depends again on the training load. If training load is high, they will require high carbohydrate intake. If training load is low, maybe not so high, and carbohydrate intake should be probably more like controlled. Regarding protein, that's true that protein intake is key, as I said. It's not like exaggerating or they just need to have regular intakes. The regularity is probably the most important. A good distribution throughout the day, every 3 to 4 hours. And the worst scenario would be to have like a long period of time with no protein intake. Let's say you go to bed ten at night, and then you skip the breakfast. That means you will have a very long period of time from dinner the day before until maybe lunchtime without any protein intake. And this is clearly a very bad situation, deleterious situation for muscle mass. Clearly, during all this time, the body is gonna endure some catabolic responses. And masters athletes in this situation are going to lose muscle mass.
She mentioned insulin resistance. Is that something that masters athletes need to be worried about?
Yes, we don't have much information about it. It's really difficult to answer this question. I think we should do more research in this area. It's true that there is always a fear of insulin resistance when ingesting too much carbohydrates. We don't also have longitudinal data as well of athletes doing that for a long period of time throughout their life. So again, I cannot respond. As a scientist, I trust data and I don't have this data, so I cannot respond. However, I think, just an opinion, I think, again, if the training load is high, it wouldn't really be too much of a concern to have high carbohydrate intake, because that will be needed and that will be burned during the activity. The bodies would use these carbohydrates.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if we move on to recovery then, why is recovery an increased challenge for masters athletes?
Yeah, recovery is an increased challenge. That's what we have observed in a series of studies we have conducted in the last 10, 15 years. And actually, that was the topic of my PhD more than 10 years ago. I wanted to know why performance decline with aging. So I investigated specifically whether masters athletes fatigued more with aging, or if it was a recovery problem. And what we found out was that it was not about fatigue. Fatigue was quite the same between masters and younger athletes. The issue was recovery. Recovery was slower in masters athletes, especially in activities involving muscle damage. So for example, in running, running could induce muscle damage. And in this kind of activity, recovery is much slower. So it's very difficult to maintain their performance level in running in particular. It's a bit less pronounced in cycling, obviously, because there is no muscle damage. So recovery is less of an issue, I would say, in cycling. But in certain activities, that's for sure, recovery is really altered in masters athletes. So this is what we observed. So clearly, knowing this, our main take-home messages or recommendations from our studies were to really pay attention to recovery in masters athletes. They should pay attention to their diet, to their sleep as well. Sleep is probably the best recovery strategy. And any other recovery strategies that could speed up the recovery process. I don't know, it could be cryotherapy, it could be massage, it could be anything. But clearly, this is something to pay attention to.
Is sleep more difficult for masters athletes?
Again, I don't know. This is a very good question. I think we should investigate that. Difficult to say. But for sure, it's a very good recovery strategy.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a 61-year-old asking if they can speed up their recovery or enhance muscle growth with their recovery and nutrition.
Clearly. So good practices and what is important in the recovery process is quite simple. The first thing, obviously, is hydration. Hydration is a priority. This is often neglected, unfortunately, but hydration should be the number one priority. So clearly, checking their body weight pre and post training or pre and post competition is important. It's important to recover at least the body mass lost after exercise. And then it's providing enough carbohydrates and protein, especially in the first few hours after exercise. This is a perfect window, what we call the window of opportunity, to recover quickly. So yeah, typical recommendations, again, I think many people probably know that, but within the first hour, it's providing enough protein. So in Masters Athletes, that would be a portion of 30 to 40 grams of protein, and combined with carbohydrates. So in terms of quantities, that would be 1 to 1.5 grams of carbs per kilogram of body mass in the first hour. That would be the ideal like recovery snack. If it was a very intense and maybe long duration activity or maybe a competition, they would need to reproduce that in the second hour after exercise, only for the carbohydrate intake. It won't be necessary to have another protein intake, but yeah, the carbs should be maintained. The carb intake should be maintained in the second hour after exercise as well. This is key to replenish, to initiate, to trigger the glycogen resynthesis post-exercise.
There are sodium needs change. You mentioned hydration. Mm-hmm. There are sodium needs change with aging.
It doesn't change much. It's quite the same. The main factors that would affect sodium and sodium needs is more in like hot conditions when the sweating rate is elevated, and this would depend on their acclimation level. But overall, their needs are the same as younger athletes. So sodium is not much of a concern. Most of the time, we have enough sodium stored in the body as well. That comes from our diet. So sodium is not really a concern and something we should really be preoccupied of.
Okay, great. So we had a couple of athletes asking about longevity and nutrition.
Yep.
What are the most important blood markers for masters athletes that you'd look at?
Quite the same as for younger athletes, to be honest. Blood markers would be the same. So the main things we are looking at with in younger athletes, and again, I think it could be the same in masters athletes, are typical vitamins and minerals, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, Q10, and some vitamins of the B group, B6, B9, B12. Are very important because they're involved in the metabolism and the immune system as well. Zinc, magnesium are key minerals as well, and iron. So these are the main vitamins and minerals. And in addition to that, we have hormones that we could study as well, or at least follow. Thyroid hormones, testosterone. So that's typical markers that we investigate in blood tests in athletes, in addition to other classical blood markers such as white blood cell count or red cells as well. But no real differences with younger athletes.
Is inflammation a greater issue for masters athletes?
Inflammation is quite the same as younger athletes, as we have seen in our studies, after various forms of exercise. The inflammation level is the same, but again, it tends to persist for a longer period of time, which would mean that their recovery again is slower.
Yeah, makes sense. So what are your thoughts then on a vegan or vegetarian diet for masters athletes?
Good point. This is topical. To be honest, I don't believe myself in vegan diets because I think they are too restrictive and could pose some challenges for athletes. What I mean here is, I think in order to be or to maintain a balanced diet, vegan athletes would need to have a very good understanding and advanced knowledge in nutrition to be able to eat well, to make the right choices, to find vegetal alternatives for protein, for example. So I think it's a real challenge. I think even nutritionists or dietitians would struggle to do it. So it would be even more difficult in athletes. That's why I would not recommend vegan diets in athletes. I would be concerned with their health and the risk of deficiencies.
Yeah, definitely. So
I think this is possible to have a vegan diet, but again, it would require very good knowledge, and this would be challenging for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So are there specific foods or supplements that you recommend for master's athletes?
I don't recommend any specific supplements. Supplements would be the same again as younger athletes. The first one obviously would be protein powders. Why protein powders? Because they need protein, especially master's athletes. They need a bit more protein than younger athletes. And protein powders are handy. They are very convenient. It might be challenging to eat bigger doses of proteins, through meat or fish, for example, or dairy products. That's where protein powders could be good alternatives, because it's probably always easier to have protein as drinks compared to more solid sources.
Is there a place for creatine as a protein powder, or do you prefer whey for masters?
So whey protein powders should be the first choice. It's very well assimilated, absorbed by the body. It can create rapidly a peak in amino acid in the blood circulation, which is very beneficial for protein synthesis. So first choice, clearly, that's whey protein. And creatine could be provided on top of that. I think in certain situations, obviously for master's athletes, training in like high intensity sports, master's athletes having to repeat high intensity efforts, like intervals at high intensity, I think creatine could help. That could provide an energy boost, clearly. And some recent research suggests that creatine could also be involved in the protein synthesis response. So potentially, yes, creatine could help also maintaining muscle mass. It's just the beginning. This is, this is just the beginning in the research we have on the effects of creatine on muscle mass gain. But it is promising.
Okay. We have some of our athletes asking, how much beer is too much beer?
This is a common question, actually, not just in master's athletes. I would say one beer is already too much. We know that very well now, that alcohol can alter negatively the recovery process, in particular, and muscle protein synthesis post-exercise. It can be altered. Alcohol can also alter the rehydration post-exercise. So water retention is altered. So all the fluid ingested, for example, from a beer, would be lost in the hours after ingestion. The water retention will be quite low following the ingestion of alcohol. So clearly it's quite a bad idea to have alcohol after exercise. Or if master's athletes still want to have beers, for example, it's very important to combine it with water or milk or other drinks with no alcohol to make sure they rehydrate well and the muscle protein synthesis is not too altered.
Okay, yeah. So knowing that recovery is already a greater challenge for master's athletes, adding beer on top of that is unfortunately going to make that even a greater challenge.
Not a good idea. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I'm sure lots of people are disappointed to hear that, but we're here to hear the truth.
It's disappointing. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So some athletes asked about fasting. Nutrient timing for masters athletes. It seems like you were saying that having regular doses of protein was important. So does that mean that fasting is probably not a good idea for masters athletes, or what do you think about that?
I don't like the term fasting. But that being said, I would recommend to reduce or avoid carbohydrate intake before certain sessions. So it could be considered as a form of fasting, but athletes would still be allowed to have protein, for example. It would be just, again, periodizing the carbs. And in certain situations, like what we call training low, could be implemented. So I think, from time to time, on purpose, we could do that. I would not recommend strict fasting, no food at all, but I could potentially recommend in certain situations to just restrict carbohydrate intake or making it very low to stimulate some adaptations.
Okay. Do you recommend, how frequently then do you recommend athletes, masters athletes, eat so that they don't get into this catabolic state?
How frequently they should eat, sorry, you said?
Yeah. How frequently do you think they should have their meals or snacks?
Okay. Frequent meal, I think, is very important. Avoiding skipping meals is a priority. So regular intakes, that means, as I said at the beginning, I think, of our conversation, it's breakfast, lunch, afternoon, snack, dinner. And for masters athletes training a lot, with a high training load, we could have a fifth like intake, feed, and that would be an evening snack. So like a pre-bed snack, containing mainly proteins such as whey protein or casein. Again, the purpose is to have an anabolic effect and be able to maintain muscle mass throughout the night. Because the night is quite long, it's a long period of time. It could be 7 to 8, 9 hours until the next intake, until breakfast. And again, during this long period of time, it's very likely that catabolism, muscle catabolism, will be present. So regular intakes, that's 4 to 5 feeds per day.
Okay. And during the taper, so when people when athletes are leading up to their events, is the nutritional recommendation similar for those younger athletes?
It should not be too different. They're the same needs. During the taper, the main like priority will be to optimize glycogen synthesis to make sure they start their event, their competition with optimal levels of glycogen in their liver and their muscles. So high carbohydrate intake should be implemented, good hydration as well. When it's very close to the event, like the day before or 48 hours before, reducing fiber intake as well to allow a good GI comfort. In a nutshell, key recommendations during the taper, and they're exactly the same between masters and younger athletes.
Great. So we have a 60-year-old who says that they're working 40 hours a week and riding 150 to 200 miles a week. What are your recommendations for this specific athlete?
So this is a high training load, obviously, and an elevated energy expenditure on top of their work. They will need to ingest enough calories. This is the first thing. And these calories will come mainly from carbohydrates. So it will be probably a high carbohydrate or medium to high carbohydrate on most days. to match energy expenditure. This is important. Energy balance is crucial. Is crucial to adapt well to training, to maintain their immune function, and be able to resynthesize their glycogen. Because if they train regularly, 150 to 200 miles a week, they will need to resynthesize their glycogen regularly on a daily basis to be able to sustain this training load. In science as well, beyond energy balance, we like to estimate energy availability, which is the amount of energy left for daily life activities, such as work. Walking is a daily life activity. And this athlete will need enough energy for their work. So it's not just enough energy for their training sessions. It's also for their daily life activities. And that's something we can measure, we can assess. We are doing this on a daily basis with elite athletes. It can be done quite simply, and this is probably something to try to assess at some point or estimate to make sure this athlete has enough energy on a daily basis.
Okay, how do you recommend athletes calculate that? Is that just a basic equation, or would you recommend them going into a lab to get that done?
They could do it themselves. It's probably better to ask an expert, a nutritionist, a scientist to do it, because it could be quite complex, but they could try. So total energy expenditure, total daily energy expenditure is composed of different components. A big part is resting metabolic rate. That can be estimated based on body composition. So ideally here, they would need to know their muscle mass. So it can be estimated and we can have, we can have this quite easily. So that's resting metabolic rate. On top of that, we need to add exercise energy expenditure. So if it's cycling, it can be estimated based on power data. So they would need a power meter on the bike to have that. And again, on top of that, we have the energy expenditure required for digestion. And overall, it's about 10% of all the energy intake. So if they ingest 3,000 calories a day, that's 300 kilocalories spent every day in digestion mechanisms. And the addition of the sum of these different components makes total energy expenditure. Then the idea would be to compare if this total energy expenditure matches their energy intake or vice versa, if we have a balance between the two. If there is an imbalance, clearly that's something to avoid. And the athlete would need probably to eat more calories.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I think that's all of our questions. Is there any other considerations for masters athletes that we've not covered?
Let me think about it. I think maybe another aspect would be in order to perform and to limit the aging process as well, to maintain their performance for a long time, something very important, which is not well documented as well in the scientific papers, is to be resilient to injuries, clearly. Because when an injury occurs, masters athletes will need to stop their training. And every time they stop their training, obviously they will lose some of the adaptation. They will likely lose some muscle mass, and it's going to be more difficult to get back to resume their training. So every time they have an injury, this could really propel them toward like a spiral of declining performance. You see, so if there are 10 injuries throughout their life, these 10 injuries could lead to a gradual decline in muscle mass and a gradual decline in performance. So clearly, avoiding injuries is key. This is probably the most important parameter. But for that, obviously, it's very difficult because it's difficult to predict that. Recommendations would be to have a very large proportion of training done at low intensity so that there is no interruption or minimal interruption in their training routine throughout their life.
Okay. Is there nutritional recommendations that you have, or is there any specific things that would help athletes avoid injury, or is it just basically following the principles that we've already talked about?
Yeah, it's mainly following the principles we talked about, protein intake, enough energy from carbs, good sources of fat, checking their blood status as well regularly to avoid any deficiencies. And training management, I think, and especially intensity management. It's important to not train too high, but train regularly. And again, I think we didn't mention it, but endurance training is important. But if it's even better if it's associated with resistance training. I think having this additional stimulus for the muscles and for bones as well really helps maintaining all their physiological functions and, again, their muscle mass. So, again, this is something endurance athletes struggle a bit to do, but it's really beneficial to add some resistance training session in their routine.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Well, thank you so much. What other research would you like to be seen done on masters athletes? What would you like to see to complete a picture?
Oh, a lot. A lot of research needs to be done in masters athletes. This is quite a new topic, masters athletes. Aging has been studied for a very long time, but like specific aging in these like very well-trained people is something very different. Clearly, I think we need to know more about their habits. How do they eat? How do they train? Like, this simple information is not well known. So that would be really, really interesting to have these studies. And then I think studies related to the oxidation of substrates during physical activity in masters athletes, because we don't know exactly if substrate oxidation is the same in masters athletes, if they can burn the same quantities of carbohydrates and fat during exercise. We don't know at all. We hypothesize that it's the same as younger athletes, but we don't know exactly. Same for glycogen resynthesis or glycogen synthesis before an event. We don't know exactly if masters athletes react in the same way as younger athletes in terms of glycogen synthesis. Potentially, they would need more carbohydrates or less. We don't know. So I think, yes, that's still the question that needs to be investigated. And potentially, that could lead to, in the future, maybe to specific nutritional recommendations for masters athletes. Same as for female athletes. As I said before, it's still early. We need more research, and it's exactly the same in masters athletes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you ever do the research on those topics, then we'd love to have you back on to discuss them.
It's ongoing.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
A pleasure to have you on. Super informative.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.